Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. Beth Emmanuel is committed to proclaiming the vital gospel message of the coming kingdom of heaven. If you share our passion for this message, please support this teaching ministry and messianic community with your prayers and financial contributions. To learn how, click the support button at BethEmmanuel.org.
Did Noah keep the Sabbath? I was just wondering. Noah and his sons, were they Sabbatarian? God established the Sabbath on the seventh day of creation. He established the Sabbath thousands of years before the Torah is given to Israel at Mount Sinai, long before there was an Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, or Jewish people at all, and therefore long, long, long before the Lord declared the Sabbath day was to be a sign between himself and Israel, the Lord established the Sabbath day by resting on the seventh day himself. As it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and on the seventh day God finished, and he rested on the seventh day, and he made it holy, and God rested from all his work. So I was just wondering, did Noah keep the Sabbath day? Rabbi Chaim ben Attar, a great-great-great ancestor of Pat ben Attar, says, ever since the creation of man, the world did not lack at least one person who observed the Sabbath. Adam did so, his son Seth, and many righteous people after him. Whenever one righteous person died, God had already arranged for another righteous person. This chain of individual Sabbath keepers continued through Methuselah, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc., until the Jewish people introduced collective Sabbath observance. And according to our sages, the Israelites observed the Sabbath even while in exile in Egypt. All right, Rabbi Chaim ben Attar is not just stating his own opinion here for the record. Rather, he is summarizing the legends of Jewish tradition on this matter, on this question. Jewish sources all agree that beginning with Adam, the observance of the Sabbath was passed down from generation to generation. By the time of Noah, however, when wickedness and corruption had run amok among men, Noah and his family would have been the last of the Sabbatarians. And after the flood, Noah's son Shem continued the observance of the Sabbath, and he taught it to his sons, and they passed it to Abraham. Well, that's the idea. In any case, you see, I have the answer to my question here. The question being, did Noah keep the Sabbath? The answer is yes, Noah kept the Sabbath. And it's no surprise. It's no surprise at all. After all, his name is Noach. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. The beginning of our Torah portion. Notice that it says Noah twice. Always significant, I think, when the Torah repeats a word like this. It says, Noach, Noach. These are the generations of Noach. Noach was a righteous man. Why the repetition? Why didn't it just say, these are the generations of Noah? He was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noach, Noach. So nice, you have to say it twice. And maybe it's a hint, because the name Noach actually alludes to the Sabbath. Here's a Hebrew lesson for you. The word Shavat is a verb that means to cease, to stop. So it says, on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested, Shavat, on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested, Shavat, from all his work that he had done in creation. So here we see the word Shavat functioning as a verb, but as a noun, the word Shabbat becomes Shabbat. It means ceasing, to cease. God didn't rest from his work because he was tired. He ceased from his work because his work was all finished. So Shabbat means to cease, and Shabbat then is day of ceasing. Not a day of resting, not here, not in this sense. So Shabbat is not the type of rest that implies relaxation and refreshment. It's the type of rest that implies ceasing, as in ceasing from your work, ceasing from creating. However, there is another word in Hebrew that does mean to rest, and it has a different shade of meaning. It is the type of relaxation and refreshment that we ordinarily associate with the Sabbath rest, and this is the word nuach. Nuach also means to rest. and this word is closely associated with the Sabbath, with Shabbat, as well. But unlike the Hebrew verb shavat, nuach implies the type of rest that we associate with refreshment, renewal, contentment, peace, shalom, and so forth. So we can see this word in the context of the story of Noah. It says in Genesis chapter 5, verse 28, when Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noach, saying, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us nuach from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. So he's happy because he's Noach is going to bring him nuach, and nuach then means relief, or is relief and rest and these kinds of concepts. On a simple literal level, this is a father saying, finally, a boy who can help me with the chores around the farm. But on a deeper level, the birth of Noach implied something more. It implied an end to the curse. Legend says that prior to the birth of Noah, the curse upon the ground made agriculture nearly impossible, but Noah's miraculous birth signified an end to the curse. So in Genesis Rabbah, it says, when God created Adam, he invested him with a full range of authority, the cow obeyed the plowman. The furrow cooperated with the plow. As soon as Adam sinned, however, the cow no longer responded to its owner, nor did the earth respond to the plow. But this situation continued until the time of Noach. Once Noach appeared on earth, the situation changed in man's favor. So this is the idea, calling his name Noach, because he brought nuach in the form of an end of the curse upon the ground. This alludes to Messiah, the one born to bring an end to the curse, the one born to bring relief, the one born to bring the Sabbath rest of the kingdom, the Messianic era, and the world to come. In Shem Mishmuel's commentary on Parshat Noach, it points out that in the Zohar, Tikkun Zohar, Tikkun 2154b, it states the matter very simply and very succinctly. It just simply says, Noach is Shabbat. Noah is the Sabbath. Noah is Sabbath. Now, obviously, the Zohar is playing off of Noah's name. Noah's name means resting, Noach, which is an important Shabbat concept. But the commentary in Shem Mishmuel looks for a further explanation, and it observes that, according to legend, Noach was born holy, in that he was miraculously born already circumcised. And this is implied in the words, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noach, Noach. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. What does it mean he was blameless in his generation? Well, the word blameless, tamim, can be translated as perfect, or better yet, it can be translated as complete. And this is where the legend comes from, that he was born already complete. You know, he was, that is to say, already circumcised. His job was already done. He's complete, tamim. And it's interesting that circumcision is a sign of the covenant. God's covenant with Abraham and the Jewish people. And likewise, the Sabbath is a sign of the covenant, the sign of the covenant between God and Israel. These two concepts are closely related to one another. So we find the concept that Noach, the father of the nations, is compared to Abraham, who is called father of a multitude of nations. So the nations are called sons of Noah, and yet Abraham is also called the father of nations, father of a multitude of nations. And regarding Abraham, it says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be tamim, be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and multiply you greatly. And then God gives him the commandment of circumcision. This is Genesis chapter 17. So Hashem appears to Abraham, says, walk before me and be blameless. And then he gives him the commandment of circumcision to make him complete, be complete. But regarding Noah, it simply says he was complete. He was tamim. So in this way, Noah possessed the holiness of circumcision innately. Abraham entered into it at the age of 99. Likewise, Noah possessed the holiness of the Sabbath innately. That's the idea, according to Shem Mishmuel, behind Noah's name and the Zohar's statement that Noah is Sabbath. And the commentary goes on to compare Abraham and Noah in different ways. But in any case, here we find this idea that Noach alludes to Shabbat Menucha. Chaim Ben Attar says, the name Noah is repeated, Noach, Noach, to indicate that Noach brought a newfound Menucha, a newfound rest or satisfaction to life on earth. So, I don't know if you noticed that, but Noach, who brings Nuach, and the word Nuach alludes to the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is the day of rest, the day of Menucha. You know, these are, I don't know if you hear that, the word Nuach inside Menucha, but that's the way it works. Just like Shabbat is a verb, it means to cease, to rest, and Shabbat is a noun form of the same word. Nuach is a verb, to rest. Menucha is a noun, Menucha. It's a noun form of the same word, the rest. So the word Nuach is closely tied to the concept of Sabbath, as I keep saying, because the Torah says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, right in the Ten Commandments, it says, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. But when it says he rested, it doesn't say Shabbat this time. This time it says Nuach. He, Nuach, rested on the seventh day. And so this is where we get the term Shabbat Menucha, the Sabbath rest. In fact, in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, we have an entire midrash built on Psalm 95:11, those words that say, they shall not enter my menucha, menuchati, my menucha, my Sabbath rest. And the writer of the book of Hebrews builds this whole teaching about the Sabbath and the kingdom of heaven based on this one Hebrew word, nuach, menucha. That's the Hebrew word menucha when Psalm 95 says, they shall not enter my rest. They shall not enter my menucha. The writer of the book of Hebrews identifies God's menucha as the Sabbath day, and he associates it with the land of Israel, his resting place, and with the kingdom of heaven and the world to come all at once. It's a complicated midrash, and we've learned it when we studied the book of Hebrews and so forth, but it refers to all three. They shall not enter my Sabbath rest. They shall not enter the promised land. They shall not enter the kingdom of the world to come. They're all three are wrapped up in the concept of God's day of Nuach, his day of rest, his day of Menucha. So he concludes that teaching saying, so there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest. So there you go. How's your menucha? For 6 days a week, we are like Lamech, hard at work, busy with our work and painful toil of our hands, working the ground that the Lord has cursed, living in a state of exile, outside of the Holy Land, his resting place, outside of the kingdom, his menucha. For 6 days a week, 6 days of Lamech. But then on the seventh day, Nuach, Noach is born, Noach, Noach. And he gives us Nuach. He brings us Menucha to give us rest from all of that. It's the Sabbath day. The toil of Lamech symbolizes the exile outside of God's resting place, his Menucha, the land of Israel. But the birth of Noah, the one who brings rest, symbolizes the redemption and the end of the exile. The toil of Lamech symbolizes this present age, but the birth of Noah, Noach symbolizes the Messianic era, the kingdom, when we enter God's Menucha. This is the deeper meaning alluded to in the repetition of Noah's name at the beginning of our Parsha. That's what I think. It says Noach, Noach, to allude to this concept, this deeper meaning of the name Noach. And perhaps it alludes to another repetition, not the same word, but it sounds similar to me, invoking an association on a phonetic level, and that is the gospel in Isaiah chapter 40, the beginning of the seven consolations, the beginning of the good news, where it says, Nachamu, Nachamu, sounds like Noach, Noach to me, Nachamu, Nachamu, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended. Her iniquity is pardoned. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, and then we have the gospel. It's an end to exile. It's the redemption. It's the good news. It's the first of the seven consolations. But just in case we might miss the association, a few chapters later in Isaiah, we find the Haftarah portion for Parshat Noach, where it says in Isaiah 54, beginning in verse 9, the Lord says through the prophet Isaiah, this is like the days of Noach to me, as I swore that the waters of Noach should no more go over the earth. So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you and will not rebuke you. For the mountains may depart and the hills may be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you. My covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. This prophecy of the redemption, this prediction of the consolation and the kingdom, is part of the good news that God will no longer be angry with his people. His covenant of peace will not be removed. This is the new covenant, the covenant of the kingdom. And of course, Isaiah's prophecy then alludes back to when Noah got off of the ark and God made a covenant with him, promising not to flood the earth again, when he set his bow in the sky. Likewise, at the end of this current exile, at the end of this current age, the Lord will redeem Israel, and he will establish his new covenant, swearing never to be angry with his people again, swearing that his love will never depart from Israel again, that his covenant of peace will not be broken. And now we have the deeper meaning, the bigger picture of what the Torah means to hint toward when Lamech says, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us nuach from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. When we keep the Sabbath, I believe we tune into that spiritual energy, the spiritual energy of Shabbat, that nuach. It refreshes us spiritually. It's the menucha of Hashem, a symbol of the Holy Land of Israel, and a foretaste of the kingdom and the world to come. And maybe the Sabbath could also be understood as a sort of ark, a safe place that floats above the chaos, above the waters, separates us from humanity, from sin, from God's judgment, and lifts us above it, actually lifts us above the profane world. A microcosm of the 6 days of creation, all contained within it, crammed within its walls, all living things coexisting in peace, in perfect, perfect menucha. That's the vision. And in this ark, on the Sabbath day, God protects us and preserves us. That's a thought. Did Noah keep Sabbath? It turns out, on closer inspection, that not only did Noah keep the Sabbath, he's all about the Sabbath. His name practically means Sabbath rest. His birth prophetically hints toward the coming of Messiah and the great consolation of the kingdom. And Jewish tradition insists, yes, Noah was Sabbatarian. So that's pretty much case closed. But it raises one interesting implication, because one of the things we derive from Parshat Noach is the universal Torah, the universal laws of Torah, that is, the seven Noahide laws. Those laws that universally apply to all human beings. It doesn't matter who you are. You might be Jewish, you might be Gentile, you might be a believer, you might be an atheist. It doesn't matter. God holds all human beings and all human societies accountable to these basic laws. The sages had different traditions about them and derived them in different lists, but Judaism codified them as these seven laws. Number one, do not worship idols or other gods. Number two, do not blaspheme God's name. Number three, do not murder. Number four, do not commit sexual immorality. Number five, do not steal. Number six, do not eat things while they are still alive, that is, meat with blood. Number seven, establish courts of justice. So the seven laws of Noah are really more like general categories. They serve as seven broad categories of Torah that encompass numerous specific commandments, which are mentioned elsewhere in the Torah. But one thing should be clear. They do not include the commandment to observe the Sabbath by ceasing from melacha, ceasing from work. They don't say anything about resting on the Sabbath. They don't say anything about the Sabbath at all. Yet, Noah kept the Sabbath. Why? Let's think about that. God did not command Noah or his sons to keep the Sabbath. He did not command him to rest on the seventh day. Yet, Noah kept the Sabbath. Maybe the answer is that he kept the Sabbath as an oral tradition, an oral law, handed down from Lamech, who received it from Methuselah, who received it from Enoch, and so forth, back to Adam. But the problem with this idea is that if we go back to the story of the 6 days of creation and the formation of man, the commandments that God gives to man, we do not find the mitzvah there either. There is no mitzvah to keep the Sabbath in Genesis. It's just we have the story of the Sabbath. It says that God rested on the seventh day. He made the seventh day holy. It tells the story of the establishment of the Sabbath day, but there is no mitzvah associated with it at all, not in Genesis. We have to read the story sequentially to get that, to get to the point where it's a mitzvah in Exodus, Exodus 16, Exodus 20. But I think it's not accidental, and that everything in the Torah is with purpose, so it must be significant that God did not command Adam to rest on the Sabbath. Adam and Seth and Noah and Shem observed the Sabbath because they observed the Sabbath because it was the Sabbath, not because God commanded them to, but rather because it was the holy day, because it was the Lord's day, because it was the day of rest, because it was the Shabbat. It wasn't a mitzvah for them. It wasn't a commandment. It did not become a mitzvah until God brought the people of Israel, the Jewish people, out of the land of Egypt, and on the way to Mount Sinai, he told them not to go out and gather manna on the Sabbath day. That was the very first mitzvah associated with the Sabbath. Don't go out and gather manna. Let every one of you stay in his place on the Sabbath day. Then at Mount Sinai, he spoke the Ten Commandments, and he gave the Jewish people new instructions, a commandment to rest from melacha on the Sabbath day. From work on the Sabbath day, he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. So to be clear, God did not command Adam and Eve to keep the Sabbath. He did not tell Noah and his sons to keep the Sabbath. He did not even ask Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to keep the Sabbath. But he did say to the children of Israel, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. Exodus 31:13. And in this way, he gave the Jewish people a special job, a unique obligation regarding the Sabbath. He said that the Jewish people are to keep the Sabbath holy. He said, for it is holy for you. He commanded the Jewish people to observe the Sabbath as a solemn rest, abstaining from work on the seventh day. And by keeping the Sabbath day holy and observing the prohibitions against working on the Sabbath day, the Jewish people honor the sign of their special covenant relationship with God. The fact that the Sabbath was not commanded to Adam and Eve, or given to Noah as a commandment, or even to Abraham on the level of mitzvah, the level of commandment, did not keep Adam, Noah, or Abraham from keeping the Sabbath. They didn't keep it on the level of mitzvah, but they kept the Sabbath anyway. And it explains something very simple, something very basic, something very obvious when you think about it. If the Sabbath was on the level of mitzvah for Adam, the father of all human beings, for Noah, the father of all nations, if it was on the level of mitzvah for human beings, for all humanity, how could it possibly function as a sign of the covenant between God and Israel? Think of it this way. If everyone was required to be circumcised, and it was a commandment that God had given to Noah, you shall circumcise your sons on the eighth day, how could circumcision function as a sign of the covenant for Abraham and his children? Wouldn't be much of a sign if everybody was already circumcising their sons on the eighth day. And if that's what everyone did, it wouldn't be a very good sign at all. Likewise, how can the observance of the Sabbath be a sign between God and Israel if the Sabbath is universal? The answer is that the Sabbath is not a sign. God did not say, the Sabbath is a sign between me and Israel. He said to the Jewish people, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign. The mitzvah to keep the Sabbath is the sign of the covenant between God and Israel. The Sabbath is the seal of the covenant that God made with Israel on Mount Sinai, and its observance is the oath, the sign of the unique relationship God has with his people. Midrash Michilta comments, for this is a sign between me and you, and not between me and the nations of the world. But on the other hand, our Master Yeshua says the Sabbath was made for man, that is, for Adam, for human beings. So is there a contradiction here? Not at all. The Sabbath is made for human beings, for everyone. But only the Jewish people are obligated, are bound on the level of mitzvah, the level of commandment, to keep the Sabbath. When Adam kept the Sabbath, he kept it just because it was the Sabbath, not on the level of mitzvah, but rather because he loved God. And he chose to keep the day that God had set aside and made holy. And he rested in imitation of his Creator, but not because God had commanded him to do so. And when Noah kept the Sabbath, he kept the Sabbath because it was the day of Menucha, the Lord's Menucha, the day of rest, not because he had a commandment to rest on the Sabbath. You know, I think of it like Thanksgiving. I'm a big Thanksgiving guy. I love Thanksgiving. Would not ever want to miss Thanksgiving. Turkey, stuffing, cranberries, mashed potatoes, gravy, green bean casserole with those onions, onion things on top. Pie. Think of the different kinds of pie. There's pumpkin pie, pecan pie, what else? Apple pie, cherry pie. Who would want to miss this? I keep Thanksgiving because I love Thanksgiving, not because I have a commandment to keep Thanksgiving. I don't keep Thanksgiving on the level of mitzvah. I keep it because it's Thanksgiving. And that's the difference. This is the difference. Noah was Sabbatarian, but not on the level of obligation. This is why the Sabbath is not one of the seven laws. The Jewish people, however, are Sabbatarian on the level of mitzvah, the level of obligation. So now you see the significance of my original question that we began this teaching with some 30 minutes ago. Did Noah keep the Sabbath? And the answer is yes. Yes, he did. And so do we. We keep the Sabbath because it's the Sabbath, because we love God. And this is part of how we cleave to him and his people. And for those of us who are Jewish, we also keep the Sabbath on the level of mitzvah, the level of commandment. But all of us keep the Sabbath on the level of Noach, because we seek the menucha that the Sabbath has to offer us, the Sabbath peace and rest. Noach, Noach, Shabbat, menucha, Sabbath peace and rest. Take on my yoke and learn from me, and find rest for your soul.